This is the Porter Pickups Tonecast, Episode 10. Today, we'll take a closer look at the Anthem PAF humbuckers. We'll go behind the scenes of their creation, we'll listen to some sound clips, as well as some customer testimonials.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the Tonecast. My name is Derek. I'm here with Brian. We're talking PAFs today. And just before we started, we wanted to let you know that we've updated our Tonecast page. We've got a few new things there, including a welcome video from Brian and I that we'd love for you guys to go check out. So if you'd like to check that out, it's porterpickups.com/community/tone-cast.
I think that's right. Or if you click the community tab, yeah. You can find the Tonecast there.
It's going to be way easier, I'm sure. Yeah, so you can go there and check out archived shows and all sorts of other stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks again, guys, for listening. We're up to show number 10 now, which is pretty exciting. Second of our weekly shows. So it felt like we just did the interview last week with Lance, but we had a great time doing that interview. We kind of did something different right as we started talking to him. He wanted to go Instagram Live, and so we took questions kind of as the podcast was happening, as well as interviewing Lance. So that was a good show last week. Had a lot of fun with that. Maybe at some point we'll do some kind of live stuff again. I think it's kind of interesting there. But again, as we kind of mentioned most of the shows, if anyone has any suggestions for topics, for questions they'd like to feature on the Tonecast, we'd love to kind of get your feedback on that. And, you know, just anything that you can provide for us that you think would be good, you know, show subjects or topics. You know, we're happy to cover stuff that you have questions about.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, let's talk the name of the game today, Anthem PAF pickups. These ones are kind of special. They're good pickups, and I think it was a little while of development and all sorts of stuff, so it's going to be a fun subject to talk about. But maybe, Brian, can you talk a little bit just to the name and maybe run into the creation from there, how these came about, where they came from?
Sure. Yeah. So we were trying to come up with a name. We were just going to call them the Porter PAFs. You know, that was kind of generic. And I think way back, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago at least now. But we did kind of a Twitter contest, like, hey, name our new PAF. And we got all sorts of suggestions. And we were actually, what's funny about that is we were actually leading towards calling them the Sterling PAFs, like Sterling Silver, like high class kind of that sort of thing. And then for some reason, I don't even remember the story, but for some reason we backed out of that name. And then Anthem made the most sense because it was like, you know, rock and roll, you know, Anthem kind of song. So being that, you know, PAFs are kind of associated with the rock and roll thing, I think that's kind of the direction that we get. It's funny, I don't remember all the details of the story, but anyways, we settled on Anthem for the name of them. And then from there, we started to develop kind of what we wanted in the wines. So I can go deeper into that if you want, or if you're kind of curious.
No, I mean, that at least covers the beginning, I think. That's great. I did not know that it was a Twitter contest, so that's good.
It was. It was back when we had, like, you know, probably like 40 or 50 Twitter followers. So it was not a lot of suggestions, I think.
Well, I think you came out on top then. It's a pretty great name. Well, maybe explain, I mean, so Gibson PAFs, they're probably one of the more well-known humbuckers out there. Maybe explain a little bit of the differences in the PAFs and how you came to find what you were looking for in our version of them.
Sure, yeah. It's kind of an interesting approach that we've took with the Anthems, because a lot of our pickups come out of a need where it's like, hey, someone wants this telly set that's less twangy, or someone wants this. And so we'll create a model that sort of addresses those needs, sort of like our pickups with a purpose kind of mentality. But with the PAFs, it's obviously, you know, not necessarily like a clone, but it is a tribute to the original humbuckers and kind of the what everyone likes about that. So we actually dove in a lot deeper in the Anthems than we did in a lot of other pickup designs. So I had a couple friends through guitar shop connections that have different years of PAFs, you know, early stuff, to like 59s to, you know, all these different years, and each of them was different. Each of them had kind of a different tone, but I was able to like just sit and play with a lot of different ones. And so that helped kind of formulate almost like a list in my head of like, I like this part of a PAF. I like the clarity. I like the low wind of a PAF. I like the sustain. I like the way that it actually matches with a Mahogany Les Paul pretty well. And so I kind of, because there is so many different ways that a PAF, you know, what people call a PAF, different magnets, different winds, things like that, I kind of wanted to settle on my own take, my own favorites of that list. And so I did that by just saying, okay, here's what I want in a wind, here's what I want in magnets. And it was more of a take it or leave it kind of approach, where like I felt like the anthems addressed a lot of the things that made PAF special. And so we did some stuff like a complex wind. We did some stuff, you know, playing with, you know, number of turns and different magnet types. And we kind of settled on, you know, what the PAFs are today. They've morphed a little bit over the course of the business, but they really are still pretty true to what we first designed.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, I mean, I'm winding them most of the time these days, and it is definitely, it's one of the most complex things that we do, which is fun. You know, sometimes I get a little frustrated with them, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's funny because they are really they are the most uniquely wound pickup that we make as far as what goes into winding them. We have kind of a proprietary pattern that we use for winding them, and it just creates a really unique sounding pickup that I think, you know, it's the thing about the old PAFs is they were inconsistent, you know, yeah. Sometimes to a good fault, sure, you know, yeah. Like this one was overwound a little more than this one or whatever it was. But we tried to make a consistent one that still had some of the complexity and the things about it. And that really was the goal. And, yeah. You know, creating, you know, there's different ways to approach the winding, obviously. But again, for us, it was like finding the wind that really does what we want.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was going to say is just it's cool that we have gotten the consistency there, because that's the one thing I've heard about the PAF style pickups, you know, the originals, is that it's like for every one really awesome set, there's probably three out there that just aren't standing the test of time very well.
Sure.
Because sometimes they've been very inconsistently wound and that sort of stuff. But it does. It's what gave them the magic of the day, too, is just kind of a little bit of wildness in them, I think. So
yeah, and some people, you know, some people will degauss the magnets. They'll take some of the charge off the magnets, kind of replicate, you know, what the old ones sound like. Well, most of the old ones were fully charged magnets when they first came out.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of replicating what they hear nowadays versus what they actually were back then. And so that was taken into account for us, as we just said, we're going to use fully charged magnets for these ones. We can obviously go, you know, we've had people that really are sold on a certain way the PAFs need to be, whether it's different magnets or, you know, a little bit overwound what we normally do. Really, like, our biggest thing, like with those, resistance wise, they typically sit like the necks around the low 7K range, and then the bridge is about 8. And I feel like that balances, you know, most people are taking the anthems and putting them in like an SG or Les Paul 335, kind of like a lot of Gibbs and stuff. Just that's naturally where they were born, and they kind of, you know,
they find their way back
to those guitars. And so, with that in mind, the PAFs kind of address some of those things. Whereas, like, if your Les Paul is super muddy, PAFs are a low wind pickup, so they have good clarity to kind of balance with that, and they help with the sustain. Mahogany's already a great wood that sounds really nice, and the PAFs kind of just enhance and complement that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, while we're here, why don't we take a second to just cut over to a few sound samples and try to give kind of a picture of a little bit of what they can do. Thank you.
All right, so last week we had Lance from Gear Talk on, as we mentioned earlier in the show. And before we recorded the Tonecast number 9, we actually asked him about his Anthem PAFs, and we figured we would kind of put that audio here because Lance uses the Anthems in his SG. So here's thoughts from Lance, and here's our little interview with Lance from last week. So Lance, we had you on the show last week, and this week we're talking about the Anthems, so I figured I'd just get a little quick thoughts from you on the Anthems. You actually use the Anthems, so maybe you could describe kind of what you like about the Anthems, what guitar they're in, and just maybe some quick thoughts on what to expect from them tonally.
Tonally, they sound like a great Les Paul, like a great old guitar. I initially got the Anthems for my SG, my 73 that I got from Brad Jetter of Jetter Pedals. He had the Anthems in before, and then when I bought the guitar, he took them out. And he so highly recommended the Anthems, I had to get them and put them in the same guitar. So two different sets of Anthems have been in that SG, and I've not considered changing them ever because they kind of give me the like old PAF thing that we all kind of want in that style guitar. They're amazing, and they're great replicas of something that, you know, that's vintage and kind of very true to those sounds.
Sure. And so when you're playing with the Anthems, kind of what do you use them for? Like, what musical styles have you found yourself kind of playing, or gig styles for them?
Well, you know, that guitar particularly is set up to play slide guitar. So I end up doing a lot of slide work that's my main slide guitar. I don't play a lot of non-slide stuff on it because of how it's set up. So I end up doing a lot of like bluesy Allman Brothers sort of thing. Just kind of experiment. What I like about them though is I can do a lot of different styles with them, and they're never, it's never too much on the, it's like there's never too much output on them, or there's never too little. I was afraid that they're being potted, that they're, you know, it might not be enough like punch with them, but I totally get that with them. And also I can use them playing classic rock to metal to jazz. I mean, they really are kind of like that, a timeless sounding pickup that they just work for everybody's ears in a lot of different situations.
Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that, Lance. We appreciate it.
Sure.
So we also got a clip, kind of a testimonial from Steve Sterlacci, one of our artists. He kind of shared a little bit of his thoughts about the Anthem. So here's that clip.
Hey guys, this is Steve Sterlacci, and I'm the lead guitarist for country artist Jessica Lynn. And I have Porter Anthem PAFs in my Gibson Les Paul. It's a limited edition 1979. It's a vintage guitar. And I had asked Brian for something that had clarity, bite, and for lack of a better term, balls. So he pointed me in the direction of his Anthem PAFs, and I've loved them ever since, and I haven't looked back.
So as we wrap up, I had a conversation with Joshua Van Ness this last week. He's got a show coming up for a benefit concert that he'd like to talk to us about. So let's go ahead and cut to that. We're here with Joshua Van Ness. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, man. You got
awesome.
It
he wanted to come on the show and just give a little heads up as to some of the things going on out in his world, and a really cool cause that he's helping support. So, Joshua, give us a little bit of information about yourself, kind of where you're from, you play in a band, all that kind of stuff. Kind of catch us up.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So, my name's Joshua Van Ness. I live in central New Jersey. A lot of people in my area say I'm from New York, but I like to rep Jersey. So
there you go.
But, over the years, New Jersey's got a real healthy music scene, and we're also close to New York and Philadelphia. And so I've been lucky enough to kind of call all those places home and do some traveling as well. I play in a band. It's currently my band. It's the Joshua Van Ness Band. And it's kind of a it's actually a new band, to be honest with you, but it's kind of a hybrid of soulful influences and, you know, kind of, I guess, rock influences, you know. I grew up listening to like the Black Crowes and Prince, and so the stuff that we do kind of ends up in the middle somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, how did you get hooked up with Porter Guitars? How'd you kind of hear about us, and what are you doing?
It's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it short. I a few years back, I was, playing, and I realized that my arsenal of guitars was short of Stratocaster.
And, a very big problem for any musician.
It's funny, man. Like, I never really dug Stratocasters as a younger player. I'm a natural drummer, and I think as I became more comfortable with the guitar, you know, initially I was very comfortable with humbuckers. Like, I could make a big, full sound. You know?
Sure.
But as I became a better guitarist, I started leaning more towards the single coil, you know, more traditional Strat sounds. So one day I'm sitting around and I'm like, man, I don't have a Strat. I should probably get one of those. And, so I went to my local music store and didn't have a lot of money to spend. I found one that was pretty much on the trash heap, you know, and I got it used. It wasn't one of their better models. It was a lower end model, but the price was right. I think with a case, I probably spent less than $400 and I walked out with a Strat. And,
nice.
I didn't really expect to play it very much, to be honest with you. I thought it was just something I'd have when I need that sound to go to in the studio or whatever. And that summer was the only guitar I played, you know. It wasn't that it even sounded amazing. Like, it sounded nice, but it wasn't, you know, you could tell it wasn't a custom shop. But it just felt really good. It's got a really nice neck to it. And, you know, it's I like a little bit of beef on my neck, but not the big baseball style necks, you know, so it's got a nice contour to it and just felt really good. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm talking with my sister, who is an amazing artist. And, you know, she's talking about some projects she did. And I said, you know, it'd be really cool if I had a guitar that had your artwork on it. So then my brain starts thinking, well, how can I do this? Well, I've got this Strat that I only, you know, paid a couple $100 for. You know, maybe I can make that a project guitar. So that's how this whole thing started. I took that Strat apart. I actually tried to strip the paint myself and quickly realized that I didn't have the, the tools really or the know-how to do so. So I went online. I found an American Strat body, just, you know, raw, so to speak, unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And set out starting to rebuild this guitar. So sent it off to my sister, and she painted this beautiful portrait of my daughter on it, which just came out amazingly. I started asking around, you know, what are some good ways that I can kind of upgrade this instrument? And a good buddy of mine, Joe Beninati, had moved up to Maine, and he started working with a guitarist up there named Jack Fawcett, who I think you probably know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We just had him on the show, actually.
Yeah, real cool guy. And, yeah. You know, Jack's a professional guitarist and does a lot of product reviews. And he put me in touch with Jack. I started chatting with him a little bit. And I said, look, you know, I got this project going on. And, you know, it was a decent guitar to begin with. But I'm looking for some, quick, affordable ways to really kind of give this guitar a boost, kind of give it an upgrade. And he recommended the Porter pickups. I'd never heard of them before, but, went to the website, heard some of the demo videos and was impressed with what I saw and heard. So I figured, you know, we'll give this a shot. It's funny. One of the most nerve-wracking aspects of this project was picking what pickups I want to use, you know, cause there's just a ton of options, particularly for, you know, standard Strat, configurations.
For sure. Yeah.
But eventually I just kind of came up with the mindset that I wanted something that was true to sort of that vintage Strat sound with maybe a little bit more oomph. So
yeah.
I heard the Vintage Customs demo and I thought, you know, that's the ballpark I want to be in, and ordered the pickups. So, you know, fast forward, you know, I've got the body of the paintings done. I stained it and sealed it myself and brought it to a buddy of mine to rebuild, you know, to put all the guts back in and put the Porter pickups in. And, from the second I played it, it was just so far beyond my expectation. I really can't say how happy, I can't say it enough how happy I am with these pickups. Again, very true to sort of like a vintage 60s Fender Strat sound. But I think with even on the high end, it's a very clear, chimey kind of quality. And I really love the neck pickup. You know, when it's funny, a lot of guys will throw their pickups into the bridge pickup when they want some oomph, you know, to cut. I go the other way. I go towards the neck, and it gets real fat. And I you know, I kind of have to talk myself out of living there sometimes. I really like that sound.
You and Brian both, man, neck pickup guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Man. Yeah. I like that. I like, especially out of Strats, you know, I like that throaty sound more so than the twang. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But again, with these pickups, there's so much clarity. Even when I move into the middle and bridge pickups, you know, it gets bright without getting shrill, which I really enjoy. So,
that's awesome, man.
That's how I came very across cool. Porter.
That's awesome,
I'm very
dude.
Happy with it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, we've got you on the show this week because you kind of contacted us and wanted to let us know about something that you've got going on up there in New Jersey, right?
Yeah. Great concert coming up. It's called Play It Forward. It's a benefit concert. It's taking place on the 21st of January. It's going to be at a venue called the Old Franklin Schoolhouse in Metuchen, New Jersey. This venue is a musician's dream, right? It's literally an old schoolhouse. Nice. You know, I always tell people, picture like I don't know, like Little House on the Prairie kind of thing. Back when schoolhouses were literally one room. Well, that's what this place is. I think it was built in 1807 or something like that. And it's you know, it's hardwood everywhere, and the ceilings are high, and you know, it's a little on the small side, so it's a great listening room, good, you know, intimate type of vibe. But we're going to be there raising money for a foundation called the Pacilli Foundation, which essentially they just kind of keep their ear to the ground locally. And when families go through tragedies or just trying times due to some sort of disability, they very quietly show up and they provide those families with either money or supplies or whatever is needed at that time to kind of help get them through. And I thought that was cool because it's so local based, you know, that you know, there's no hands really to pass through. Like, these people are just really in the street with the families that need the help. And it's always good when you can do what you love to do and do it for a good cause. So,
totally.
That's what we're going to be doing, man. And, in addition to my band, we're going to be playing with a band called the May Darlings, very soulful, kind of acoustic folk duo, and Low Light. That's another band that's on the bill. So both of those bands just racked up a bunch of, they're called Asbury Music Awards. People who are familiar with the New Jersey scene know that Asbury Park is like our crown jewel, and those guys just got a bunch of awards in that scene. Low Light actually just opened up for the Pretenders a little while ago. So, you know, all three bands have a lot of buzz and a lot of momentum around them, and they're just, you know, they're just good people. So we're going to get together, have a good show and you know, do it for a good cause.
That's awesome. That sounds like it'll be a good time. Well, for, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how many listeners are in the New Jersey area, but it sounds like that's going to be a really awesome show to get out to. Maybe for some of the guys that are listening that couldn't make it out to the show, but maybe want to look into the cause a little bit more. Could you say the name of the cause again? And I don't know if you have a website off the top of your head, but if nothing else, they can
Yeah, definitely Google it. To be honest with you, they're very quiet about it. They're not looking for you know, adulation out of this or any type of real attention, but it's called the Fucilli Foundation, which is Fucille. And again, they're local based. Actually, you know, the way it started is that family lost, you know, the father of that family in you know, a very kind of sudden and tragic event. And, you know, this is kind of their way of honoring their fallen loved one. But again, it's the Fucilli Foundation. And again, if you're in the area, we're going to be at the Old Franklin Schoolhouse in Metuchen, New Jersey.
That's awesome, man. What's the date on that one more time?
January 21st, doors open at 7. You know, the other cool thing is that we're not charging a door charge. You know, you can come in and just give what you can give. There will be some food for sale, and part of the proceeds from those sales will go to the foundation, but everything else is going to be donation based. It's real grassroots, man.
That's
from
awesome.
The people to the people. Yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for having a little chat with me. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you guys for making such a great product. I'm really pumped about it. And hopefully we'll see some folks out on the 21st.
Absolutely. See you, man.
Take care.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to tune in next week as we're talking with Dan Burgess from This One's Mine Effects.